You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Sooners Nation, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Locked On Sooners podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. For the best tasting protein bar on the market, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your order at BuiltBar.com. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is John Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams. And joining me today, as he does every day, is former Oklahoma Sooners offensive lineman David Walker. You can follow David on Twitter at D_Walk74. You can also hear him on the Iron Horse podcast with NFL cornerback Brandon Carr. David, what's going on, my friend?
Oh, John, the only thing going on is that you and I get to cover a top 10 basketball team, a top 5 football team, a top 2 softball team, the best gymnastics program in America. I mean, we're Locked On Sooners, man. It could be a whole lot worse. You know, we could be like Locked On East Popcorn State or something like that, as Coach Bob Stoops used to say. East Popcorn State was always his go-to for some obscure school that nobody cared about and would provide any competition. So, we're not Locked On East Popcorn. We're Locked On Sooners, and I'm happy to be talking some Sooner athletics with you today, my man.
Yeah, I had a Georgia guy come into my mentions a little bit because I'd made a comment about a radio host in Dallas. Radio host in Dallas's daughter, I guess, is going to be committing to a school at some point. And I just kind of went, Sooner? Question mark? Yeah. And the guy was like, well, if they were any good at anything. I was like, dude, Oklahoma athletics is good at pretty much everything.
Yeah. Says the dumb SEC fan that thinks that football is the only thing that's ever existed in the history of the world. And a fan base is not even very good at football or hasn't won anything.
And that's the funny thing too, is he's like, and we're talking about stuff other than football. I was like, then you really don't know anything about Oklahoma athletics because they're literally good at everything.
Yeah. Well, that is classic Twitter person that just speaks out of ignorance and says it with so much confidence that they convince themselves that they're right. Yeah. And they just do no research whatsoever, but that's like 90% of every hot take has zero research behind it. A lot of emotion, very little fact. And if that's you that has 90% of those hot takes, look, we're glad you're here today and we welcome you to the show as well. But that's a classic scenario that you just played.
Hey, and David, we want the hot takes. So send us your hot takes. David, give them the phone number. They can send us their hot takes. We'll play them on the air.
Oh yeah. You got a hot take for us? 405-698-0789. We're here for your hot takes. I'm here to tell you it's a good one. I'm here to tell you it's a bad one too. So I'll be straight up no matter what. I'll give you real talk feedback. You give me your hot take and we'll play it on air and we'll talk about it. And maybe we'll beat you up about it or maybe we'll show you some love. Who knows? But say it with your chest and we'll see what happens.
That's right. And like David said, we are very happy and proud to be covering the Oklahoma Sooners Athletic Department. Shout out to Athletic Director Joe Castiglione, his staff, the coaches there, just around the board, everybody around that table is just putting together excellent seasons in a weird year. I mean, we've talked about it so much on this podcast, just how weird this season has been. And David, let's talk about the basketball team. Man, you know, a month and a half ago, this team looked dead in the water. Didn't look like they were going to be making any noise in the Big 12, especially, you know, in the conf or the March Madness tournament. And here we are. We've got a top 10 team, second in the Big 12, just everything has fallen right for the Oklahoma Sooners. Even after Iowa State came back on Saturday and made it a basketball game, took a lead after OU had, a 21-point lead at one point. And OU, again, finds the resiliency, finds the buckets that they need down the stretch to pull out a win.
Yeah, they did. And they went to a place they have not won in a decade. And that is the Hilton Coliseum in Ames, Iowa. It's been a house of horrors for OU. They have found ways to lose basketball games there that they could have and should have won. And they almost did it again on Saturday, up 21, like you mentioned, come out rolling. And you just look like this is a team. It's like, man, this team is just owning this top 10 ranking. They're just going to go into Ames and just blow this team out that played them a little too close for comfort in Norman. That Iowa State team came in and hit 16 threes in Norman. OU holds them to 4 threes on Saturday in Ames. And it was interesting because they came back and took that lead with so much energy coming out of the half, just getting after OU. OU was throwing the ball all over the floor, turning it over. But when Iowa State took that lead, they got it by one. And Austin Reeves literally just said, no, 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 this is not happening. He drove to the basket and basically just, he's not the most physical guy. He's not a physical specimen. He usually gets by on a lot of, you know, craftiness, but he put his head down and he was initiating contact and basically just like found a way to get to the rim and get a bucket to put him back up by one. And the next possession, he goes back down and just wills himself to the free throw line by faking, pivoting, faking, getting the guy up in the air. The foul gets called and he knew he was getting his two shots. He just walked straight to the line, put his hands on his knees, bent over, waiting for the ball to come to him. Like, no, no big deal. Uh-huh. I just got the free throws I wanted. I got what I came for. We're about to go up by three and we'll figure it out. Now he split those free throws. They were only up two. But those were back-to-back possessions that Austin Reeves took that game by the throat and said, no, you're not coming back and winning this game today. We're a different team. We're a team that's tough. We've been in tough road games and we don't care where we're playing. We don't care about Hilton Magic. We're going to come in here and get this W and I'm going to make sure we do it. And, you know, he finishes with 20 points, leads the team. But it was just those two back-to-back possessions that to me is the epitome of what this team is. It's the epitome of Austin Reeves as a leader. And it's the epitome of the toughness and the grit that this team has, that they're able to stop something midstream, not let it get any further out of hand than it already was, and say, no, 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 we're going to go ahead and find a way to win this game, and this is how we're going to do it.
And you need a guy like that to do something like that. When things just aren't going well, you need your best player and your leader to step up and take the game over. That's what he did on Saturday, because nobody else really seemed to have a great game. You know, we've talked a lot about the well-roundedness of this team and how they've gotten good secondary scoring, tertiary scoring at times, but they only had a few guys in double figures, and nobody other than Austin Reeves had more than 10 points. He had to do a lot of this on his own this Saterday, and he did it. You know, he talked about, he willed them to victory, and you need that guy to step up. Now they've got a bunch of guys that can score, but when they needed buckets at the end of the game, who was the guy that got it for him? It was Austin Reeves.
Yeah, and in March, you have to have that guy that you know you can go to. And that doesn't mean that guy has to take the shot. That just means you want to run it through that guy, and he's a good decision maker. He's a great free throw shooter. So whether or not he's going to be shooting game winners, other guys have stepped up and made big shots this year. Emoja Gibson comes to mind right now. That guy has a lot of confidence in transition, pulling up, hitting threes off the break. You're going to need those kind of guys as well, but you need one guy that you know we can go to him and either get a bucket, get to the free throw line, or get a good shot. And he can do all three of those things. So, yeah, it's huge for this team to go and get that win, to not have a hiccup just because they had some games get, you know, postponed indefinitely here. Big shakeup to the schedule, but they got Kansas State turnaround going right up to Manhattan. Quick turnaround, getting right back into Big 12 play. So, who knows? The rankings come out today. Maybe they creep up a little bit, but it's fun to watch this team progress.
Yeah, 100%. And it's exciting, especially building off of the college football season that they just had, having basketball kind of roll into it. We talked about softball, or I did on the Wednesday show last week, and how well they're playing. They played great again. Just a litany of good things happening with Oklahoma athletics here, and also here on the Locked On Sooners podcast. Over the last few weeks, we've debuted a new episode, a series of episodes actually at this point, called the Players Lounge. David has sat down with some of his former teammates. The first time was an excellent episode. Just a bunch of offensive linemen, you know, sitting around chatting up stories of workouts and what that was like for them. This last time, you got former All-Americans, former Big 12 Player of the Years. Fantastic content. Two episodes worth, and we've got even more coming for you. And so if you haven't downloaded and subscribed and listened to Thursday and Friday's episodes of Locked On Sooners podcast, you missed out on fantastic content. David's going to give you a little bit of a tease there on those, because we want to bring you, we want to talk to you. We want to share our thoughts with you on Oklahoma athletics. But we also want to bring as much insight from some former players, guests from around Oklahoma media as much as possible, because as much as we love to talk about it, we also love to hear other voices and other opinions. That's why we want you to send in your takes. We want to hear your thoughts on what's going on with Oklahoma athletics as well. So David's got a few clips queued up. He's going to share them with you. So you're going to want to go listen to the Thursday and Friday episodes of Locked On Sooners Players Lounge.
That's right, John. We want to continue to bring creative content here. Like you said, we're going to cover the real-time events that are going on. We're going to cover OU men's basketball. We're going to cover these other sports as they go through the spring. But at the same time, we want to bring some, you know, original content as well. And from the Players Lounge, this is Teddy Lehman talking about his first day of workouts with Jerry Schmidt.
I puke and I started, the only way I can explain this is, you remember in Predator, whenever he starts bleeding that neon green blood, I was puking that. I don't know. I didn't drink anything green. I'm puking Predator blood into a train at the Switzer Center. And this day one, and I'm sitting here thinking, it's like, it's June 3rd. What are we going to do the rest of the time here? It's like, that was my first workout, and, you know, it was horrible, man.
All right, so this is Teddy Lehman, who was one of the best athletes to ever play linebacker or ever play defense at Oklahoma. And it kind of was comforting to me, John, because when we had the first episode of the Players Lounge, there was a bunch of O-linemen talking about how hard the workouts were, and maybe it's just because we were a bunch of big fat guys at the time. But then you get a guy like Teddy, who's a freak athlete, having the same exact experience. So it was a little bit reassuring as well. Like, hey, we weren't crazy. We weren't messed up. It was hard for all of us. And this was Rufus Alexander, like you said, former defensive player of the year in the Big 12, talking about his first day of workouts and what was said to a guy named Michael Hawkins that came in with us. And I'll tell you why. It might have been a little bit prophetic as well.
The last thing I remember was Michael Hawkins said, told Coach Ed, man, my heart hurt. And Michael yelled back to Michael Hawkins, you ain't got no heart.
All right, that sounds harsh, right? I mean, and there were some harsh things said back in the day during practice and during workouts, like for sure. A lot of it will never repeat on air. But that guy that he was talking to, one season, never saw or heard from again. So I don't know. It wasn't for everybody. It's not for the faint of heart. Let's just say that. But the Players Lounge, it's a fun episode. We had, like John said, Thursday and Friday, we had part one and part two. We've got part three of that conversation coming up later this week with former Biletnikoff finalist, two-time All-American Mark Clayton, Butkus winner Teddy Lehman, Defensive Player of the Year Rufus Alexander, San Diego Charger Wes Sims, myself, sitting down just talking about what it was like to be a Sooner and just kind of that behind-the-scenes look. And that's the Players Lounge is one of those podcast episodes. If you go back and listen to the first two or the last two, or you come and listen to the fifth one that we have coming out, it's a unique look behind the curtain of what it really is like to be an Oklahoma Sooner, what it was like, our experiences. And it's unfiltered, it's unscripted, and we're just shooting from the hip, having fun, catching up. So you want to just sit in the room with a bunch of former Sooners, go listen to the Locked On Sooners Players Lounge episodes. It'll bring some laughs and bring some clarity and give you maybe a different point of view, a different perspective on what it was like in those days under Bob Stoops and Jerry Schmidt. But coming up, John, you know, we want to get to our Locked On Sooners Madness bracket. We unveiled this over the weekend, and this was born out of me playing Sooneropoly with my sons at the kitchen table. What is Sooneropoly? Well, it's Monopoly with a Sooner twist, and the railroads were like Campus Corner and Boyd, you know, and these different, like, you know, Norman themed. And I was kind of thinking, you know, it'd be fun to do just like a March Madness with Sooners. And I was like, hey, you know, we can make some unique regions, like the Campus Corner region or the Lindsay Street region. And you know what? That's what we did. And we put it out there. If you're on our Twitter page, you're on our Facebook page, you're seeing it, you're seeing the bracket unveiled. We're going to break down regions 1 and 2, which is the Campus Corner region and the Lindsay Street region. We're going to break those down in episode, in this conversation today in segment 2 and 3. We're going to dive into the bracket, dive into the matchups, and I'm looking forward to it, John.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll do that coming up next on the Locked On Sooners podcast. But before we do that, let me tell you a little bit about Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but it really is not over because you can actually get in on future NFL college football bets right now. You can bet on the Oklahoma Sooners' odds to win the national championship, Spencer Rattler's odds to win the Heisman next year. You can also bet on NBA, college basketball, NHL, Major League Baseball is just around the corner. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV. If you're into The Bachelor, they got you covered. You got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus by using the promo code LOCKEDON on your first deposit. So go to betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts a breakdown of the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts.
And now coming up in the segment, like David talked about before, we're going to give you kind of our reaction and some of our thoughts on the Campus Corner region and the Lindsey Street region of the Locked On Sooners Sooner Madness, getting you ready for March Madness. Oklahoma Sooners are going to be going deep into March Madness. So, David, take it away. You know, first of all, I want to mention, you know, he talked about how we came up with this. I mean, we kind of fleshed out the idea. I was at work on Saturday evening as we're going through this, talking about it. And I'm saying, yeah, we can, you know, let's start breaking down, you know, figuring out 64 teams. And within like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, David sends me a text with 1 through 64 ranked. I just said, how did you do that? It was amazing. It was incredible. Yeah,
it's probably just being a native Oklahoma and just grew up with way too much Sooners on the brain. But yeah, it came about quickly and spent the weekend putting the brackets together as far as some graphics and getting that all in a way where you can go and vote on it. So if you're on our Twitter page, on our Facebook page, you'll see the link being tweeted out, posted about all day long. It's a real quick and easy click through vote. But the first round matchups are live right now. They're live until Wednesday at noon. So you have all the next 3 days to go and vote on your favorite first round matchups. Vote on all of them, but make sure that your favorite Sooners advance to the second round. And yeah, we had one seeds. So just like the NCAA tournament, we're going to break down. We'll start with the one seeds across the board. We have in the Campus Corner region that we're going to break down right now. We have the Boz as the one seed. Brian Bosworth coming in at number one in the Campus Corner region. In the Lindsey Street region, we have Barry Switzer as the one seed. In the South Oval region, we have Baker Mayfield as the one seed. And in the Boyd Street region, we have Adrian Peterson. Don't call him AP, national media. It's AD. And AD is the number one seed in the Boyd Street region. So those are your one seeds. Now, that Campus Corner region, the Boz might have had a pretty good matchup here. I think, you know, there's a lot of ways we could go with 16 seeds. We try to have a little bit of fun with it. And our guy, Toby Keith, found himself an automatic bid. I think he won some really, you know, I love this bar and grill conference and got an automatic bid somehow. I don't know where he played, what league he played in to get into this thing, but he's playing the Boz in the first round, 1 versus 16.
Well, he played in the, I'm on the sideline for national broadcast games and people are going to show me, even though I don't really have much other connection.
So, you know, he's going to need a red solo cup when the Boz is done with him. So I think that'll be something that's going to take place. But
it's a fascinating matchup. And I think where we went with the one seeds was we tried to find the guys that were like iconic, recognizable people who continue to just kind of like grow the brand, so to speak. Exactly. You know, and you've got the Boz, you know, Barry. I mean, Barry Switzer's not been coaching for OU for, what, 30, 40 years at this point? 30 years? And he still is probably one of the most recognizable faces connected to Oklahoma. Baker Mayfield is more recent, but you don't think of Oklahoma football in the last 10 years without thinking of Baker Mayfield. And then Adrian Peterson.
You can't watch a TV show without thinking of Baker Mayfield because he's going to come up in some kind of a commercial before you're done watching whatever you're watching. You're watching This Is Us. You're watching American Idol. You're watching a sporting event, you're going to see Baker Mayfield pop up on your screen no matter who's playing or what you're watching. So that was another thought with him. And then you got Adrian Peterson that's still scoring touchdowns in the league and says he wants to play till he's 40. He's probably going to be playing with Tom Brady next year. I think that'll happen. So
And arguably the greatest NFL player or greatest Sooner ever to play in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like has had the best career of any Sooner in the NFL.
When we did the seeding though, John, to your point on that, there's a lot of ways you could look at seeding, right? You could look at it as, you know, who had the best Sooner career, who had the best professional career. You know, there's going to be guys you're going to see like, oh, well, why are they seeded here and why are they seeded higher? And it's subjective. It's up for debate. Just like when the committee puts a bracket out there, you got people that got snubbed. You got people that got, you know, seeded incorrectly by your analysis. And we're here for that too. Like, let us know why you think somebody should have been seeded higher. We're happy to have that conversation, but in our 8-9 matchup. So I'm sorry, Toby, but the 8-9 winner, they're going to get the Boz. I think that's pretty safe to say. the 8-9 matchup right out of the gate, super intriguing to me and you as professional wrestling aficionados. You got Dr. Death Steve Williams, former Oklahoma offensive lineman, longtime professional wrestling legend, one of the coolest names ever in all of sports, going up against Jake Hager, who is a two-time All-American wrestler, also was a defensive lineman for the Sooners, and has been a world champion in WWE, is now on All Elite Wrestling on TNT, running around with Chris Jericho, and also fighting in MMA with Bellator. So you got those guys squaring off in the 8-9 matchup. Who do you like in that one?
Well, that's a really fun one. And yeah, Jake Hager, you might know him as Jack Swagger. Really interesting matchup. And what's really fun about that one is the winner gets to go on to face the Boz. And I feel like if the Boz had played, you know, college football, you know, 20 years later, we might have actually seen him as a WWE superstar at one point in time. Just, yeah. He's got the personality. He can carry a bit. Like, he can carry that gimmick around, you know? Like, I feel like he would have been perfect for professional wrestling had he come around 20 years later or so.
Well, not to get derailed right now, but there's a wrestler right now that's a WWE champion that's called The Miz, who kind of took a little bit of the Boz name and rebranded it for his own self. So there's some precedent for the Boz and what that could have looked like. So
yeah,
that's the Boz versus whoever wins the 8-9 matchup would definitely be inside the squared circle, and somebody would promote it and put it on a pay-per-view, and it would be fantastic. So, the 4-13 matchup is Sooner softball coach Patty Gasso at the 4 seed going up against Lane Johnson, Super Bowl champion, at the 13 seed. Who do you like in that matchup?
Well, this is, my Cowboy bias is going to come out a little bit here. And that's Dallas Cowboys bias. But we're going to go Patty Gasso. We're not going to give Lane Johnson an opportunity to advance in this one just because he played for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, well, Patty Gasso also has 9 College and World Series and
legend
titles. So I think well, it'll be interesting to see, because Sooner football gets so much love, and you're going to see a ton of Sooner football throughout this bracket, and rightfully so. But there's some other sports on here that deserve some love, and Patty Gasso at the 4 seed, very deserving. Like I said, you know, 9 College World Series. Her program is in its 3rd decade now as a dynasty in college softball. Her team right now looks like the 27 Yankees. So, you know, they are rolling. She's been rolling for a long time. So we got her at the 4 seed. I like
that's
her.
That's like Dean Smith.
Yeah. Like, she's an institution.
Level of success. Yeah.
Yeah. She's an institution.
Gino Ariyama.
Now the 5-12 matchup. The 5-12 matchup is, you know, statistically the biggest upset potential in the NCAA tournament every year. It's that who's going to be the 12 seed that wins. You know, usually there's at least one. Sometimes there's two. I think there's even been years where there's 3-12 seeds that advance. And there's some 12-5 matchups that are going to have some potential for some upsets. But in this one, I actually like the 5 seed. This is Courtney Paris comes in at the 5 seed, the queen of the double-double. I think she was just dominated women's basketball for her tenure there at Oklahoma, led them to the Final Four. And then at the 12 seed, we got Hollywood Brown. Not a lengthy career at Oklahoma, certainly an impactful career at Oklahoma, but Hollywood Brown comes in at the 12 seed. Who do you like in that?
Well, I'm going to go with a little recency bias here and go with Hollywood Brown. I just the electric ability he had on the football field. You can't beat it. I mean, he's still doing that in the NFL. That speed is just incredible. The only person that can match that in the NFL is Tyreek Hill. And, you know, Hollywood Brown, if he gets a little bit better of a passer with the Ravens, if Lamar Jackson's able to improve, I think we'll see Hollywood Brown kind of take that next step.
Okay. I can see the recency bias setting in for you, and I'll let you lose this matchup, and I'll let you take Hollywood. That's okay.
Yeah.
But I do think that at the 215, you know, on its face, it seems like a pretty big mismatch. It's going to require a lot of recency bias for Mark Andrews at the 15 seed to advance on Bud Wilkinson at the 2 seed. So do you think Mark Andrews has any chance to move on past the Godfather, Bud Wilkinson?
0. The only way he advances is if most of our followers and voters don't know who Bud Wilkinson is. But if you're an Oklahoma Sooner fan, you absolutely 100% know who Bud Wilkinson is. And so this is probably going to be a bigger landslide, honestly. Maybe the biggest landslide in this region, I would think.
I could see Toby Keith getting some more offense in on the balls than Mark Andrews is going to get on Bud Wilkinson.
Yeah.
I mean, in reality. So
yeah.
Moving right along to who Bud Wilkinson will be facing in the second round, it's going to be the battle on the edge. This is a really, it's like a fantasy matchup right
yes,
here.
Yes, agreed.
Oklahoma Sooners football. You got Derek Strait, like, in my opinion, the best cornerback in the last 25 years at Oklahoma. Derek Strait against the Biletnikoff winner and only wide receiver at Oklahoma to ever be a Heisman finalist at the 10 seed, Dede Westbrook. So we got E Strait at the 7, Dede at the 10 spot. Who do you like in this 7-10 matchup?
Well, I got to go with D Strait, man. It's like we talked about a couple weeks ago when we were doing our all-time Bob Stoops defense. You know, the only corner, only defensive back to win the Nagurski Award since the turn of the millennium. And one of just three, sorry, not the only, but because Roy Williams won it as well. But one of just three cornerbacks since the award came out in the early 90s to win the Nagurski. And that was Champ Bailey and Charles Woodson and Derek Strait. And Dede Westbrook's great, and I love me some Dede Westbrook. But you can't, I mean, to me, it's hard to top what Derek Strait was able to accomplish to be able to win an award that has gone to basically edge rushers and linebackers for its the entirety of its existence, aside from him and three other guys over a almost 30-year span. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'm definitely going D Strait in this matchup. I think that, you know, Dede Westbrook had a, you know, and that's a guy who's like, why is Dede as a 10 if he was a Heisman finalist and a Biletnikoff guy? Well, has more to do with the strength of the bracket in some of these seedings. It also has to do with the tenure of your time at Oklahoma. So you had your biggest years, you had a 1 or 2 year run, you know, as opposed to a guy like Derek Strait that had a great 4 year career. Those guys are going to get that nod and get that higher seed. At least that was my thought about it. But speaking of, another mismatch, I think this region was seeded pretty strongly because you got Wayman Tisdale, the most decorated Sooner basketball player ever. Was he the most talented? That's a question for another day, but certainly for his time and in his era was just dominant, three-time All-American, was really the catalyst for Billy Tubbs teams. And he's going up against John Gray, Colorado Rockies. I mean, longtime starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, obviously came out of the Sooner baseball program. John Gray getting a 14 seed there. I don't think John's got enough different pitches to keep Wayman from advancing here in the second round.
No, and here's the thing, like with this matchup, it's one of those, I had to try to figure out who John Gray was. I immediately knew who Wayman Tisdale was.
Yep.
Even if you didn't really follow Oklahoma basketball, but if you followed basketball in the 80s and 90s, you knew who Wayman Tisdale was. That's just a name that's just like, you know it. You know what I mean? And so to me, another landslide win in this bracket. A lot of these teams are playing home games in this region.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely some teams that earn themselves a good first round matchup. And I think Wayman is one of those guys that he deserved a good first round matchup to make sure we get him into the second round. And I'm sure he will. And the last matchup, we have a friend of the show, a former high school teammate, former college teammate of mine, Teddy Lehman, Fort Gibson's finest at the 6th seed, the Butkus winner, the Bednarik winner. Going up against who I felt like was the face of OU basketball in the 1990s. If Wayman Tisdale was the face in the 80s, Eduardo Najera was the face of the 90s. He epitomized the toughness, the grit of heart, hustle, and hardwood that Kelvin Sampson was preaching. And no more apparent was that than when he set a screen on Michigan State in the NCAA tournament. Mateen Cleaves would go on to be the man that year. They won the national championship. Mateen Cleaves comes in the Sweet 16 underneath that screen, hits Najera under the chin, knocks him out. He's laying there bleeding on the floor, knocked out, comes back in the game later. I mean, whether he should have now he would have probably been, you know, put in the dark room for 2 weeks because he probably was knocked out cold, but the guy's toughness was on display.
Yeah.
So you got Najera coming in at the 11 seed. And this is a guy in Eduardo Najera that had he grown up in the States, maybe he would have been a linebacker. Who knows? But a really strong matchup there between Teddy and Eduardo. Who you taking there?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Teddy. I mean, another highly decorated Oklahoma Sooner football player, but we can't understate how important Eduardo Najera was to Oklahoma basketball as well. And back, you know, when Eddie played, I wasn't really a Sooners fan at that time. But again, watching March Madness, he was a name that stood out. Like, you know who Eduardo Nájera was, even if you didn't watch the Sooners or were a Sooners fan. I mean, he brings a ton of name recognition. And then I also followed him a lot as a Dallas Mavericks fan, too. And so that's a guy that, you know, he stands out to me. Like, those early Dirk years, Eddie Nájera was the kind of the toughness of those teams a lot of times. But, yeah, to me, it's got to be Teddy Lehman.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Teddy as well. Like I said, I think Nájera definitely will put up a good fight in this matchup. But I think Teddy, you know, just on the strength of his career and being a part of a national championship team, and, you know, obviously the play against Texas lives forever. So, and just, you know, his current contributions to Oklahoma athletics as well, too. He's serving as the color analyst for football. He sits in the studio with Sooner Sports TV. So I think that's going to be one where Teddy will move on as well. And we're going to be right back to talk about the Lindsey Street region, headlined by Barry Switzer as the one seed. We're going to break that region down coming up in segment three. But first, John, we got to tell the good people about Built Bar. And I'm going to get on my Built Bar soapbox because I've been sitting here enjoying it for weeks and weeks and weeks here at the Walker House. My wife enjoys it. My kids are asking me for it. And I'm saying nope, because it's the protein that I ordered for myself for after workouts. You get to eat all this good candy that you think is all good for you and all that. It's not. I can't do that anymore at 37. I need the good stuff, John. I need the ratios.
That's right.
I need the calorie ratio and the sugar ratio, well, and the protein ratio to measure.
You know what
out.
You can do for you and what you can do for your kids? You get them the Built Bites.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm okay with that.
Much less protein.
I'm okay with that. But right now, I'm just focusing on this protein ratio, because the protein ratio for me is the biggest deal. Like, the protein to sugar ratio, because, John, you know, you go to the protein bar section, there's all kinds of protein bars, and we tried them all. But for me, once I tried Built Bar, it was just like, forget everything else. They're 100% covered in chocolate. They've got 18 flavors to choose from. I've kind of settled into the three that I like the most. And for me, that's cookies and cream, German chocolate cake, and coconut. And those are the non-nut flavored, so they're only 130 calories each. And they have a protein to sugar ratio of 17 to 5 or 18 to 4, depending on the flavor. So it's really hard to beat that. You're talking 2.5 grams of fat. So, you know, you go buy a candy bar, it's got 13 grams of fat and who knows how much sugar. This is something that it makes you feel like you're cheating when you get done with your workout. Go grab your Built Bar. And if you go to builtbar.com, use the promo code Locked On, you get 20% off of your order. So, man, go get you some and make sure you get your 20% off by using our promo code Locked On at builtbar.com.
NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And now coming up, we're going to give you our breakdown, our preview of the Lindsey Street region, headlined by the great, the one and only, the man, the myth, the legend, Barry Switzer.
That's right. We got the king at the one seed matched up with another two-sport guy in a wrestling sensation, defensive lineman sensation, Kelly Gregg, originally from Edmond, Oklahoma, USA, was a great Sooner in some bad years. He was there in the late 90s, wasn't a part of great teams at Oklahoma, but went on to have a fantastic NFL career, won a Super Bowl, and still does some work around the Oklahoma City media scene. But Kelly Gregg was a great Sooner. And like I said, wrestling, football, Super Bowl champion. You know, I just wanted to show him some love for his contributions to the program there at the 16 seed. Because let's just face it, I mean, Barry had to beat somebody too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, so I don't want to, you know, diminish the reasons Kelly got into the bracket. But I do think that this was going to be one of those that we could have, you know, you could have put whoever you thought was snubbed. And I know you have already tweeted out a few. Then just put them in. Pretend you put them in for Kelly, or pretend you put them in for Toby, or whoever else you want to put them in for. But I don't think any 16 seed beating the king in this first matchup.
Nope. Yeah, as legendary as Bud Wilkinson is, I think Barry Switzer is even more so. Not very many NFL coaches / NCAA coaches have gone and won a national championship and then a Super Bowl and been as iconic and memorable personable and, you know, as Barry Switzer has been, you know. And the guy just continues to just lead the way and be a face for Oklahoma football, just even away from the game. And again, there's not many people that are as recognizable and have been as important as Barry Switzer has been to the University of Oklahoma over the years. So landslide win. If Kelly Gray gets a vote, props to him, because honestly, there should be 100% of the vote going to Barry.
That's right. Yeah. Shout out to the Gregg family and whatever Edmond High School friends are voting for him, because hey, those votes count too. So
yes.
Hey, if you want to vote for Kelly, you go right ahead, because I'm not going to discourage you.
Yeah. Every vote counts.
Every vote counts. Now, the 8-9 matchup, I find this one to be very intriguing. So Stacey Dales currently does a lot of work with sports media, the NFL Network. She did a sideline reporter. She's done a lot post-basketball career. But Stacey Dales is the 8 seed, because she literally, along with Sherry Cole in the late 90s, they put Oklahoma basketball on the national scene. And Stacey Dales led Oklahoma to a national championship game. So we're not talking about just getting to a Final Four, which is amazing. And as basically, like, it makes guys' careers and girls' careers when they make a Final Four. It puts them in a different stratosphere as far as a campus legend. But they actually made it to the national title game against UConn. They didn't win it, but they got to the national championship from a program that was basically a laughingstock that nobody cared about. Now they started drawing. They were packing the Wood Noble Center. And Stacey Dales was the catalyst for that. Like, she literally launched an entire program with her play and her performance. So that's Stacey Dales at the 8 seed. And the 9 seed is DeMarco Murray. And could DeMarco have been higher talent-wise? Probably. But I felt like, for as great as his career was, you know, his NFL career kind of rivaled it. You could say the same. That was his NFL career better than his college career? I think that's a conversation that could be had. He had that one amazing season with the Cowboys. Obviously, he's back on the staff now. But I think DeMarco versus Stacey Dales is one that I could honestly see going either way. It just really depends on the voter and what they value. Do they value the guy that, you know, had the all-time touchdown record as all-purpose guy? Or do they value somebody that launched a program? I think any way you go right there, it's going to be a good pick.
Well, I got to tell you, I was all 100% prepared to come in here and vote for DeMarco Murray, but the case that you laid out for Stacey Dales makes it really hard to not vote for her. I mean, like you said, she made a final, and it's really difficult to make it just to the Final Four if you're not one of the power programs in college basketball, women's college basketball, or men's. And even if you are in the men, on the men's side, it's still really, really hard. But unless you're UConn on the women's side, it's really hard to make, or Tennessee back in the day. You're like, so for Oklahoma to make it to the final, that's really impressive. So I'm going to have to throw my hat in the ring for Stacey Dales there.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with Stacey as well. I just think that what she did, and also too, just her work with ESPN, with the NFL Network, like, she's had just a staying power. Where, you know, at the time when she was coming out as a women's basketball star, there was not necessarily like a huge platform to like launch yourself into something else. Right. So she also kind of, you can look at her as a trailblazer in that industry as well, where she was one of the first female athletes to really parlay her career into being women's basketball star to covering the NFL. You know, and that's just that's 25 years ago, nobody would have thought that was anything somebody could do. So the fact that she's done that as well, I think there's just a lot of good stuff there with Stacey Dales. So I like her advancing. Wouldn't surprise me if DeMarco advances. I think either one's a good pick there, but I'm going to go with Stacey. Now in the 4-13 slot, another Sooner icon in Roy Williams comes in at number 4, the Jim Thorpe Award winner and, you know, first round pick, top 10 pick of the Cowboys, 5-time Pro Bowler, and still around the program today. Obviously the Superman play will be talked about as long as people watch Oklahoma football. And then matched up against Roy is Mookie Blaylock, who was a point guard that also led a team to the national championship game in 88 with Billy Tubbs' team, and had a really great NBA career as well. It was a longtime NBA star, not like an all NBA guy, but a guy that started a point guard for a lot of different teams and had a really nice career, and is a name that any NBA fan would hear and say, oh yeah, I know Mookie Blaylock. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's another guy that probably could have been seated higher than 13, but we got him at 13 going up against Roy. Do you think Mookie has any shot to pass Superman?
Not really. I think it should be a respectable contest. But again, it's one of those, you know, Roy's played a lot more recently. And so, you know, a lot of the people that are following this show or on Twitter or follow our page on Facebook probably are, you know, of the generation that watched a lot more Roy Williams play than Mookie Blaylock play. But I think people are still going to know the name Mookie Blaylock. Like, again, I'm a kid in California, you know, at the age of 10, and I've got a Mookie Blaylock basketball card. Like, I don't have many basketball cards, but I got a Mookie Blaylock, maybe several Mookie Blaylocks. I knew who he was. And so I, you know, if for some reason I didn't know who Roy Williams was, Mookie Blaylock would be like, oh, I know that name. And so he stands out for sure. And that's going to be an interesting mashup to see how that goes. But again, we've talked about it on the show a lot of times. Like, my favorite play in Oklahoma football history is that Roy Williams play. So I'd definitely be pushing the vote button on Roy Williams.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think Roy's going to advance for the reason that you mentioned, just the iconic memories that when people hear his name, they're going to associate it with that. And they're going to just default into voting for Roy based upon that and that alone. And that's not going to be a knock on Mookie. That's just going to be the way I think it's going to go. But the 12-5 matchup in this region, the 5-12, 12-5, however you want to shake it out, is a Heisman Trophy winner, Jason White, taking on the 12 seed, Oklahoma softball legend, icon, Lauren Chamberlain. And this one, to me, has some upset potential. Because Jason White sitting there at the five as a Heisman winner, went to two national title games, you know, had the two ACLs, the great story, the comeback story, and had an awesome Sooner career. But recency bias is also a thing. And since Jay White won that Heisman, and since he was the, you know, the fourth Heisman winner, at the time he was the first quarterback to win the Heisman at OU. And since then, now you got Sam, you got Baker, you got Kyler, you had Jalen, you got Spencer Rattler now. Like, that quarterback, the love being shown to a quarterback of yesteryear, I think, you know, there might be some law of diminishing returns on that when it comes to this bracket unfolding. And you got Oklahoma softball tearing it up. Lauren Chamberlain is a fresh name. She had a huge impact on those teams, you know, going to the College World Series and winning a national title and played, you know, with Team USA. She's still very active in social media and different scenes like that. So I think there's a good shot for Lauren Chamberlain to pull this upset off. What do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I mean, Sooner softball is really top story right now, with as well as they're playing. They had another big weekend where they came away with a couple big wins again over the weekend. And yeah, so I could envision Lauren Chamberlain knocking off Jason White. I think it would be really tight. If it happens, it'd be like 51-49 kind of a thing. Percentage of the vote. I don't think it'll be a runaway for either person. I think Jason White probably has a better shot at it because, again, name value, name recognition. A lot of Sooner football fans might not be as aware of the softball history and the legacy that Lauren Chamberlain has, but who knows? You never know what's going to happen, man. Hopefully we get more softball listeners listening to our show and out there tweeting and following the poll. So
95. Home runs. That do anything for you?
95. I mean, for a guy that was never able to hit a home run in 14 years of playing baseball, that does a lot for me.
Hey, man, I'm right there. I hit one in my entire life, and I thought like that my life was just made for that one day, one time. And 95 times, she had back-to-back 30 home run seasons to start her career. And then her junior year, she had some injuries, played half the year. Hit 12 home runs. Then her senior year, she goes back and hits 23. So yeah, you go 30-30 your first 2 years in Division I softball. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. So I'm going to be bold. And, Jay White was a teammate and we, love to have Jason on the show sometime. So I hope he doesn't kill me if he comes on and says, man, how could you take Lauren Chamberlain over me in the first round? Well, sorry, Jay White, but I'm trying to predict fan behaviors here too, brother. So I'm going with Lauren Chamberlain at the 12. To take the upset and move on. So that's going to be my first big upset here in the bracket. I'm calling Lauren Chamberlain over Jason White. Now don't go vote against me just because I made that prediction either. Cause now you have the power. Okay. So don't try to like, oh, I'm going to prove D Walk wrong. I'm going to go vote Jay White. You just vote it straight up. Don't let me influence you too much. But the 2-15 matchup, another potential blowout in my opinion. We got Billy Tubbs going up against a longtime Major League Baseball starting pitcher, Garrett Richards, currently of the Angels. Does Garrett Richards have any chance to surpass Billy Tubbs, especially in a Billy Tubbs year where they're wearing Billy on the jersey?
Negative. that's donezo. Sorry, Garrett Richards, about you, but got no shot, got no chance.
Yeah, we're not that sorry, Garrett, because you're making that Major League Baseball money, and so yeah. We know you're not going to be sweating our prediction here.
And you also played for the Angels, so I'm also going to give you the Lane Johnson treatment. And
yeah, and as a Dodger fan, I'm also going to do that since you guys played in Anaheim, but you claimed LA, and now you know now the Dodgers have to be identified as LAD instead of LA, just because you wanted to try to borrow that. So yeah, so I'm salty about that too, Garrett. So, but hey, we appreciate you coming in playing hard against Billy, so that Billy can advance, and you know, no disrespect whatsoever, but you know, go Dodgers. Now at the 7-10 matchup,
go Rangers.
At the 7-10 matchup, we got Gerald McCoy at the 7. Great Sooner, great ambassador for Oklahoma athletics, big time fan supporter. Was a fan of the Sooners before he became a Sooner, and since he's left, he still actively, you know, cheers for the Sooners and supports them publicly. Got him at the 7 going against Buddy Buckets. Big time star for the Sooners, recently led them to the 2016 Final Four. You got Buddy at the 10 seed. What do you think about that matchup?
To me, it's Gerald McCoy all day. I mean, he's not all day. He's not AD, but arguably one of the best interior defensive linemen to ever play for OU. I mean, is that a stretch? Like, I mean,
I don't think so.
He was incredibly talented, incredibly effective, had a great career for the Sooners, great NFL career, still playing in the NFL. You know, thoughts are he'll come back and play another season in 2021. You know, Buddy's been really good in the NBA, and he had a great Sooners career as well. And Gerald McCoy was such a huge part of those, you know, early 2000s or mid 2000s teams for the Sooners. And it's JMC or GMC.
All right. Well, I'm going to go against you here, and I'm going to say Buddy Buckets takes it home, because I think what Buddy's doing in the NBA, it's more transferable in fans' mind. Like, it's hitting threes and doing what NBA guys do, where you can see their face, you see the plays they make. You know, Buddy leading them to the Final Four feels more tangible than the impact that a defensive tackle makes on games. So I think that is why I'm going to take Buddy Hield. I think Sooner fans had a really special kinship with Buddy. I mean, they're wearing Sacramento Kings jerseys, for crying out loud. So to put a Sacramento Kings jersey, like, to actually buy it, one, they're terrible. Two, it's purple. Not my thing. I'm not trying to look like Barney in a basketball jersey, you know, so I'm not going to go buy a Kings gear. But the fact that people actually buy and put on their body a purple Buddy Hield Kings jersey makes me think Buddy's going to win this round. So I'm going to take Buddy in the first round matchup over GK McCoy. But speaking of great defensive linemen, arguably the best defensive lineman to ever play at Oklahoma is Leroy Selman. And we got him at the 3 seed going up against another former teammate of mine and one of the most underrated running backs, I think, in Oklahoma history, and that's Quentin Griffin. Got Q coming at the 14 seed. Do you think Q, this is a literal David versus Goliath right here, like in stature.
Yeah.
We got Q about 5'6" and a half going against big bad Leroy Selman. Who are you taking in this one?
Man, that's a tough one. And I think my offensive, maybe fantasy football bias might set in a little bit here. I'm going to go with David, man. Go with QG, go with Quentin Griffin. Again, one of those guys that when I wasn't a fan of the Sooners stood out, and he was a name that I knew, you know, as a high school kid, early college years watching Oklahoma, I knew who Quentin Griffin was. Even when he went to the Broncos, you know, I wasn't a Broncos fan and I wasn't a Sooner fan at the time, but I knew who Quentin Griffin was because of the impact he had on that national championship team.
That's fair. That's fair. And I think for those reasons, Quentin will put up a fight, but I just think Leroy Selman is, you know, he is the Selman brothers in this bracket. So we didn't put all three of the Selmans in, but the Selman brothers were a brand essentially at Oklahoma before that was even a thing. They were like a faction, you know, they were like the four horsemen within the Oklahoma Sooners program is like the Selman brothers. It just sounds cool and they were bad dudes. So Leroy to me just is kind of a timeless figure. I think he'll move on to the second round. And that leaves us with our last matchup here. We're going to break down here on Locked On Sooners Madness. The last matchup in the Lindsey Street region is coming in at the 6 seed, friend of the show, You just heard him on the Players Lounge last two episodes. Mark Clayton, the two-time All-American Biletnikoff finalist, first-round pick of the Ravens at the sixth seed, going up against NBA All-Star of the Atlanta Hawks, Trae Young at the 11. What do you think about that matchup?
Yeah, I mean, mighty Trae Young has been pretty great, and he's, you know, he had a really good season for Oklahoma when he was there, and he's been really good for Atlanta. And this is like Sooner Madness. So we're talking about like the greatest Sooners of all time. And in this matchup, to me, it's got to be Mark Clayton.
Yeah, I agree. And I had somebody come at us on Twitter saying, you know, it's disrespectful for Trae Young to be ranked, you know, an 11 seed and all this stuff. And, you know, the only thing I can tell you is Trae Young, the first half of that season, of his only season in Norman, was, first of all, let's just call it like it is. The man played 1 year in Norman. All right. Like, he's not a 4 year guy. He wasn't even Blake Griffin as a 2 year guy. He didn't win National Player of the Year. He had an awesome freshman season, and then he left, and he's having an amazing NBA career. And I'm not saying he should have stayed longer, but the fact is he didn't. And in that one season that he had, the first half of that year, awesome. He was a talk of the town. He was on the cover of all these magazines. He had all the NBA guys from the Thunder coming over to Lord Noble to watch him play, and rightfully so. But then the Trae Young experience kind of took a different turn, and it ended up, it was just kind of becoming an ugly brand of basketball that they played the second half of that season. Really a non-Lon Kruger-esque team. They went 18-14. They lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And I just felt like his career, it started with a bang and ended with just kind of fizzled out in that last season. So to me, the 11 seed is kind of where I looked at Trae and said, you know, yes, amazing player, and will probably be playing basketball for a very long time at a high level in the NBA. And years from now, maybe we would seed him higher. But right now, based on one season in Norman, I think that's kind of where, that's where he should have been, is that 11 spot. But to your point, Mark Clayton, 4 years, won a national title, played in two others. I mean, three Big 12 championships, first round pick. It's kind of hard to beat MC. And I think MC will, based upon the strength of his career, I think he'll move on to the second round.
And I think, to me, that it won't be a landslide. I think Trae Young will get a lot of votes. I think it'll be a close matchup. But to me, Mark Clayton is just, again, one of those recognizable, identifiable Sooner legends, really, from the early Bob Stoops years. And to me, that holds a lot of weight in this bracket, I feel like. If you were part of some of those early successes in the Bob Stoops career, I think you're going to get a lot of love, because people remember those years very fondly, and they're ready to get back to some of those years as well. So, hey, if you have not yet voted in the Sooner Madness poll, make sure you go follow us on Twitter at Locked On Sooners. You can also check us out on Facebook, Locked On Sooners Podcast. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your show. We'll come back tomorrow and we'll knock out the next two regions. We'll talk about the matchups there, and we'll give you our takes on who should advance in those matchups. It's going to be a lot of fun. Great job by David putting this all together. Also, make sure you're subscribed to the show and you don't miss this week's edition of the Players Lounge. It's going to be part three of the sit down with Rufus Alexander, Mark Clayton, Teddy Lehman, Wes Sims, and David Walker. So you won't want to miss that. Go back and listen to those Players Lounge episodes. If you haven't listened to them yet, they're not time sensitive. Like, what they talked about 3 weeks ago on the first edition of the Players Lounge is still relevant. You can still go back and listen to it and not feel like you're way behind on something because it happened several weeks ago. It's still very relevant. Great stories. Great. And just a great fun time, like those guys getting together and hashing up those old stories. So make sure you go check those out. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're available on radio.com, Apple, Google, Spotify. So make sure you check us out there. Share us with your friends. And we'll catch you tomorrow. For David Walker, I'm John Williams. Boomer.
Sooner.